always look forward to talking to IQ Al-Rasuli. He is the foremost expert on the religion of Islam, understands the religion better than anyone alive today. And there are some days, though, that talking to IQ is a special treat. Today, we have the context of and content of a speech made by the head of the world's most famous Islamic organization. IQ, if somewhere were to ask you what today is the most famous Islamic organization, the best known Islamic organization, what would you say?
ISIS.
Yeah, the Islamic State. And if we were to say who is the most influential and best known Muslim in the world today?
Al-Baghdadi.
That would be al-Baghdadi. Do you know what al-Baghdadi's job was before he became the head of the Islamic State?
Not really, no.
He was an imam.
Okay. I thought he had
do you know what his... Yeah, do you know what his education is in?
Islam.
Correct. He is a scholar, as a matter of fact. In Islam.
Yeah, they're all scholars. All imams are supposed to be scholars of Islam. All of them.
That is correct. That is correct. So he, prior to America's invasion of Iraq, al-Baghdadi spent all of his time as an imam, as a scholar and teacher of Islam. Are you aware that he released a speech yesterday?
Yes, I know about it.
Mm-hmm. And in his speech, he said some things that are so shocking the Western media doesn't even know how to deal with them. And yet what he said is the same thing. You know, it's funny. He said exactly the same thing you've been saying now for over a decade.
But you have been saying the same thing also over a decade.
That's correct. He just went out and said, listen, Islam has never been a religion of peace.
Never.
It is a religion of war.
Always.
Always, he said, Islam has never been a religion of peace. Islam has always been a religion of war.
But he's telling the truth.
Is that a statement of... Of course.
He's telling the
truth. Of course.
The beauty of it is telling the truth.
Yes.
We agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's the most famous Muslim in the world, head of the most famous Islamic organization, and he is telling the truth.
Yes. Because what he said is simple. In the year 622, when Muhammad received the revelation to start fighting, and he started the first organized crime syndicate in human history, he declared war against all human beings who are not Muslim, and it never stopped. And it will never stop. Islam is Muslim.
I would change that ever so slightly. He didn't establish the first organized crime syndicate. He established the world's most influential, the world's most ruthless, the world's largest crime syndicate.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Muhammad wasn't inventive on anything. Everything he did was plagiarism. So he copied the failings of men before him, typically Arabs before him. But, he wasn't the first. He just created the most ruthless and the largest organized crime syndicate. It is a...
And it's continuing today as we speak.
That is correct. It is a war machine. So he went on to say that the articles on it say that in his 33-minute speech that he was melodic, that he was confident, and that the BBC article said that he quoted religious verses. Can you imagine
the BBC,
the head of the author of the BBC, the journalist here, that didn't know that he was quoting directly out of the Quran, verbatim out of the Quran, religious verses. He couldn't even say Islamic verses, much less Quranic verses.
Correct. They're very politically retarded. Politically correct retarded. Yes. All of them.
Yeah.
They will never, ever associate Islam with terror, although every Muslim tells you it is Islam and terror. Every Muslim tells you that. Anjan Chowdhury in England, by the way, Anjan Chowdhury, also is an imam, also a scholar of Islam, He tells the British public face to face, we shall Islamize you. We shall raise the Islamic flag on the Houses of Parliament. Mm-hmm. We shall remove your queen. Mm-hmm. And they say he is an extremist. He's not an extremist. He's telling the truth.
Well, he, to an extent, he is telling us the truth about the purpose and motivation of Islam. But Islam is way too inept to accomplish its goals. You and I have long asserted that while Muslims are told in the Quran that they will prevail and that they will fight all humanity and kill all who defy Islam and that they will perpetrate Islam submission on the entire world, we know that that is braggadocious. That Islam is so stupid, that it's so retarded, that all Muslims will ever be able to do is to destroy. They're spectacular at deceiving, at killing, at destroying, but they will never prevail as they suspect, as they hope.
Well, in a way, when they completely destroy Western civilization, they are prevailing, and the people who are helping them are our leaders. Our leaders are helping them.
Yeah. Our leaders are arming them, funding them. Yeah, funding them, running cover for them, making excuses for them, and arming them. Yeah, all of those things.
So when the BBC man tells you he didn't realize he's quoting from the Quran, so what was he quoting from? The Bible? From the New Testament? Or from
He said it was religious verses. Yeah, religious verses. Could have been.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yes, unbelievable. He says, the speaker says, this is Baghdadi, there is no excuse for any Muslim not to migrate to the Islamic State. Joining its jihad is a duty on every Muslim. We are calling on you to either join or carry weapons to engage in jihad wherever you are. Is this his
perception? But I love the guy. I really do. I respect him. He is telling the truth that you and I have been telling Americans for over a decade. And they think we are stupid, or we are extremists, or we are racist, or we are Islamophobes. We're not. We are only telling the American public the facts.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to change one thing here. I despise all Islamic leaders. I despise the religion of Islam. And if you are a moral and sane individual, if you are a compassionate and loving individual, you too will despise Islam. If you do not despise Islam, you are not moral. Because Islam promotes thievery, enslavement of people, the destruction of everything that good people hold as having value. It is deadly, it is deceitful, it is destructive, it is sexist, it is everything that we should rail against is what Islam is. But I at least take pause to say the man is telling the truth. He's telling the truth. He's telling Muslims that you have no excuse. This is what the Quran says. The Quran in the ninth surah is so emphatic on this that it says that any Muslim who does not engage in jihad and Allah's cause ceases to be a Muslim. They become a hypocrite and they must be killed.
Absolutely. Chapter and verse we have been copying, telling the American public and whoever wants to listen. In chapter and verse, year after year after year since 2001.
Yes. He adds, Islam was never a religion of peace. Islam is the religion of fighting. No one should believe that the war that we are waging is the war of the Islamic State. It is the war of all Muslims. But the Islamic State is spearheading it. It is the war of Muslims against the infidels, quote unquote. Wow.
We're quoting one of the foremost authorities on the subject. By the way, Osama bin Laden was the same.
Correct.
Osama bin Laden also told the world, we shall Islamize you. We shall overthrow every government. We shall raise the Islamic flag over every country on the planet. He wasn't lying either.
No.
Ayatollah Khomeini was not lying either.
No.
He also said, from the Shia point of view, we shall Islamize you. Well, nobody wants to believe them. Nobody wants to believe the very people who know the subject inside out, but they will say, oh no, they're extremists. Al-Baghdadi is not an extremist. ISIS is not extremist. Osama bin Laden is not extremist. Boko Haram is not extremist. They are Muslims. Full stop.
Period. Yeah, full stop. This his speech begins. Indeed, all praise is due to Yahweh? No. Jesus? No. Maybe got the name right. Yosha? No. All praise is due to the dark spirit that sought to be God.
Allah.
Allah. Is Allah the name of the God of the Torah?
Not far as I know. From my memory and my studies, Allah was the name of the biggest rock among 360 gods in rocks, deities of pagan Arabia.
Yeah, before only a big rock. He was a rock from outer space and a black rock.
Correct.
Yeah, there you go. That's the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. His name is Yahweh. He writes his name exactly 7,000 times in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and he says that God by any other name is a false god. So this is all praise to the Islamic God, a wannabe God. We praise him, seek his aid, and he asks for his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our soul and the wickedness of our deeds. Oh, my. He knows who he is. He wants refuge. He wants to be in the company of Yahweh for the evil of his soul and the wickedness of his deeds. Because guess who also is evil and wicked?
Allah.
Correct. Everything about Allah in the Quran is depicted as evil and wicked. Where does he spend all of his time in the Quran?
In hell.
In hell.
Watching his own people burning again and again and again.
In fact, not just watching, he's perpetrating the tortures.
Correct. Yes.
There you go. That's pretty evil, isn't it? The God of the Quran is sadistic. He spends all of his time in hell executing the most extreme tortures on anyone who wouldn't capitulate to it. That's not a God I want to know. That spirit is the incarnation of pure evil. Welcome to Islam. This would be that we seek to be in the protection of, to be in the same sanctuary with, to be sheltered by, to be in the same home with. We seek to be in the same home with Allah from the evils of our souls and the wickedness of our deeds. In other words, the more perverse you are, the more wicked you are, the more evil you are, the more you're going to be like the Islamic God Allah. And indeed, Allah presents himself as a terrorist and a sadistic, demonic torturer in the Quran. But what follows, IQ, is absolutely fascinating. This is actually mistranslated, but why don't you clarify it? And I would like our listeners to ask, who in their right mind would follow a God who deliberately misleads?
The next quote from the Al-Baghdadi, they didn't tell you from where in the Quran it is. But in fact, it is in chapter 35, Surah Al-Fatr, verse 8. I'm being very exact so that anybody listening can double-check me. And Al-Baghdadi said, for Allah leaves to shame whom he wills and guides whom he wills. In Arabic, Allah yudhillu man yasha' wa yahdi man yasha'. Or the other way around, yahdi man yasha' means to guide. Yudhillu man yasha' is to literally, deliberately leave them to be misguided. So you have a God here who created 80% of humanity who are not Muslims like us to be destroyed, hunted by 20% of humanity that he himself made them guided. What kind of a lousy God is that?
Well, you know, what's interesting here is that the contrast between Yahweh and Allah. Yahweh provided guidance for all humanity, and it is our choice as to whether or not we wish to follow his guidance. His Torah means guidance in Hebrew. So Yahweh provided his guidance to all of humanity, and it's our choice as to whether we wish to find it. Allah takes the opposite point of view. He chooses whom he wishes to mislead and whom he wishes to guide. And whom he wishes to guide, he's not saying that he's guiding them rightly. He's guiding them to where he is, which is hell.
Correct. But the most remarkable thing, any decent human being, I would like them to think about it. What kind of a demon god creates deliberately, predestines deliberately, 80% of humanity who do not believe in Muhammad, so that he creates 20% of Muhammad who believe of humanity who believe in Muhammad to hunt all those down until they destroy them.
Hunt them down and kill them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what you've described is the basis of Islam according to the Quran. I testify that there is.
Al-Baghdadi also. Al-Baghdadi said it. He said, "Whomever Allah guides, then none can misguide him. And whomever Allah leads astray," which means actually deliberately
misguides
them to destroy, "then none can guide them." Finished.
Right. And by the way, that's true. Whomever is misguided by the Quran, there's no amount of evidence and reason that will ever solve their problem. They will go astray. They will continue to be Muslims. There is no fixing someone that has been led astray by the Quran. Islam is very good at being bad.
Because
this
Islam,
next, this next line is really powerful.
Yeah.
It says that that I testify that there is no God but Allah alone. That means that he is saying that when people translate Allahu Akbar, for example, or they translate any statement made in the name of Allah, and they change Allah, which is a name, to God.
It isn't. It is the name of God.
In opposition to the Quran and Islam. This says there is no God. What is the Arabic word for God?
Ilah.
Ilah. It's based on Eloah.
I-L-A-H, Ilah, is God.
Right, Allah, and it's based on the Hebrew word, Eloah. The Hebrew word for God is Eloah, upon which El and Elohim, the plural, are derived. So, it's a Hebrew word, and it is the title. It's a name that serves as a title for God. It's a title and a noun. It is never a name. This says that the name of the God of Islam is Allah. So you can never translate Allah as God. It's a name.
Never. And he said it in Arabic.
Right.
La ilaha illallah.
Right. So it's very clear here. The God of Islam is Allah, and that's the only God. If you know, this idea that we all share the same values and we all worship the same God,
that's not true.
That is a lie perpetrated by Muslims for the express purpose of deceiving. He has no partner. Every statement that is flowed out of al-Baghdadi's mouth, an Islamic imam, is designed to convey the confession of a Muslim, that he is first and foremost a Muslim, that his religion is Islam. He said there is no God but Allah alone. What he's saying is that Yahweh was not God.
Correct.
He's saying that only Allah is God. So this myth that Islam is an Abrahamic religion and that all religions point in the same direction, he says Allah alone is God. And then he says, who has no partner. What that means is that Christians presented Jesus, actually wasn't Jesus at the time, he was Yahusha, he hadn't been changed to Jesus until the 17th century. But they presented him as being associated with Yahweh. He is actually a diminished manifestation of Yahweh. And so that became that the Christian God needed a helper, needed a partner. And so According to Islam, Allah, the black stone of the Kaaba, he doesn't need a partner. He doesn't have a partner, which means that this is a condemnation of Christianity. Isn't that how it's intended?
It's a complete refutation of Christianity.
Correct.
Muslims hate Christians, as we can see what they're doing to them all over the world, for one simple reason. Christians associate Jesus as the Son of God. Now, from the point of view of Islam, since, from their point of view, not ours, since Allah is God, and Allah is only one, then the Christians are mushrikun, means they associate God, other gods, with God, and hence, they only have to be destroyed. You cannot save them. They have to be destroyed, and that's what they do.
That's the Quranic presentation, and it exists there because Allah is modeled after Satan, and Satan wants to disavow the role that Yahusha played in the redemption of humankind, and also it's there because Allah is modeled after Muhammad, and by comparison to Yahusha, Muhammad's the ultimate earthworm. He is scummier than scum, and so He can't compare. Right.
You really are insulting the scum.
That is correct. So he has no partner. I testify that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. He didn't say Muhammad and Abraham, Muhammad and David, Muhammad and Moses, Muhammad and Jesus. He said that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. He didn't say servant. He didn't say prophet. He said slave.
Correct. Allah
Lords,
only has slaves.
Right. Lords and slave.
Correct. Yes.
Allah is a god of slavery. You know, when Yahweh describes the Malak, of which Hasatan, the adversary, is a fallen Malak. Malak means messenger or envoy in Hebrew. It's a spiritual messenger. When he describes them, as Shaba. Shaba in Hebrew speaks of a command and control regimen, a regimen without free will. So the Malak, as Yahweh's envoys, don't have any choice. They're told what to do, and they do what they're told. If you're told what to do and you do what you're told, you have no free will. You are a slave, right?
In Islam, they have no free will. That's why they have no concept of free will. That is why in the Arabic language, in 1400 years, they had to copy the Greek language to create the word democracy. They call it in Arabic, demokratia. Right. They can't understand. They don't. There is no concept of free will and democracy in Islam.
Right, and the reason for that is that Allah was modeled after Satan. Satan doesn't know the concept of free will. He was created to be a slave. He's in a command and control regimen, and so he treats people as he was treated. That's all he knows. So
Muhammad
then it says,
always said, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, because Muhammad and his followers, the Khulafa, that means the ones who followed him in leading Muslims, they always called themselves, we are the slaves of Allah. When you have a slave relationship, you cannot possibly be in love.
Right.
Neither the
fact,
master loves the slave, nor the slave loves the master.
Right. As a matter of fact, Abdallah, like Abdullah, the name that is taken by so many, like the king of Saudi Arabia, it means slave of Allah.
Yes, well, Muhammad's father was called Abdullah before Islam, which means Allah was the supreme god of pagan Arabia, the name of the supreme god of pagan Arabia, before Muhammad Islamized it.
Right. Took one false god and made him the true god. Allah, this is, in fact, I'm going to let you quote this. It's from the second surah. Verse 216, it's the verse that first defines the meaning of jihad.
Yep.
Can you read 216?
Allah, the mighty and majestic, said, fighting has been enjoined upon you, Muslims, while it is hateful to you. It's Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 216.
Yeah, the al-baqarah is the cow, but it's the second surah, right?
Yes.
It's the introduction of jihad. Yeah. The second surah was the first surah allegedly revealed in Medina after Muhammad fled Mecca following satanic verses, correct?
Correct.
And it's the first surah that was revealed after the Pledge of Aqaba, where the pagan Arabs declared that they would wage war on all humankind on behalf of Muhammad. That's also correct, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's also true that the Quran makes a transition, that all of the surahs revealed in Mecca are just the never-ending argument between Muhammad and those who knew him best. And when we turn to Medina, it becomes a terrorist manifesto and a declaration of war on all humankind.
And the verses of the Medina obliterate all the earlier conciliatory verses of Mecca.
Correct.
They make them null
and void. So the first thing that he's telling Muslims is that war is enjoined upon you. It is required of you. Jihad is required. So he just starts with this is the Quran's first mention of jihad, and he began his sermon by saying that war, jihad, is required of you.
Yes.
Now, is there a source that's more authoritative than the Quran?
They're not supposed to be. No.
No.
In Islam,
not for a Muslim.
No other source more superior to the Quran. It doesn't exist.
So he is taking the Quran's first use of jihad and saying, Allah said that jihad has been required, is enjoined upon you, while it is hateful to you. So at this time, the Arabs had not been Islamized. At this point, they were pagans, and they didn't like fighting and killing. They didn't like the crime syndicate. They were repulsed by what happened at Badr.
Correct. That's exactly what happened. They were repulsed. They were upset, they realized what a disgusting man Muhammad was. But nonetheless,
he still had a conscience.
Yes. Yes.
These Arabs still had a conscience, and Muhammad raped them of their conscience.
Correct. This is remarkable. When you study Ibn Ishaq's book, Sirat Rasulullah, you will find out, of course you do, I'm talking about people who are listening, you will find out that the pagan Arabs were more honest, more decent,
right. Yes.
Less aggressive than ever they ever became after Muhammad. After Muhammad, he obliterated all their logic, all their decency, right. Everything that they had.
He raped them of their conscience. He raped them of their morality. He raped them of their sense of good judgment. And he's saying, at this point in your life, fighting jihad is hateful to you because you know it's wrong. But according to Allah, it's required of you.
Absolutely. You know, the verse itself speaks for itself. It really speaks for itself. Exactly the way you interpret it now.
Yes.
That means before this verse, they, the Arabs, the pagan Arabs, had no intention of terrorizing people, of cheating them, of raping them, of plundering them, of enslaving them. They didn't have that.
There's a banner on the side of buses driving around Seattle that reads, it's put out by CARE, and it says, and it has a picture of a really pretty Muslim boy and girl, and it says, "My jihad is reaching across the aisle."
Really? Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Allah is speaking in his, by the way, if it's in the Quran, they're reaching across the aisle with a dagger to slit the throat of whoever is sitting there.
Absolutely.
Is there ever a mention of jihad in the Quran that is disassociated with fighting and killing and dismembering and using all weapons of war?
Well, to prove our point, let me put it this way, to prove my point.
Okay. Yes.
I will pay $100,000 to the first human being who will find the word jihad anywhere in the Quran, anywhere in Hadith, representing a communion with God, not jihad.
Yeah, spiritual struggle. Right.
$100,000.
Once. Yeah. It's never. It's one of the great lies that is perpetrated on the West by Muslims to disassociate the word jihad from fighting and killing. What this says is that fighting and killing using all weapons of war is required of every Muslim, and if you don't engage in jihad, you cease to be a Muslim.
Absolutely. Look, contrary to all the falsified assertions by politically correct Westerners, and aided and abetted by Muslims, who have every reason to hide the truth, jihad is not a spiritual struggle for excellence, but a continuous war against all so-called unbelievers, infidels, kuffar, until all of humanity is either converted to Muhammad and Islam, is subject to it in humiliation and degradation, or is slaughtered. The fact is, among Muslim scholars, jihad constitutes the sixth pillar of Muhammad and Islam.
Correct. Now, I want you to read the next quotation. It is also from the Quran. What did Baghdadi say next?
You mean, and is that one? Is that the next one?
Yeah, and, yes.
Yeah, and he's talking about Allah. And he, the mighty and majestic, said, so let those fight in the cause of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. And he who fights in the cause of Allah and is killed or achieves victory, we will bestow upon him a great reward. Unambiguous warfare.
If it was a spiritual struggle, could you be killed?
No.
Of course not. The Quran proves the point, doesn't it? This was brilliant, was it not, IQ? He begins with the Quran's first reference to jihad, and said, Allah said that fighting has been enjoined upon you while it is hateful to you. And the second statement, he makes it absolutely clear, unambiguous, that in fighting, you either achieve victory or you're killed. So his second statement was to define jihad as killing.
Absolutely. But in those who are listening to us, who might be Arab background, the verse says, Qital fi sabilillah means fight in the cause of Allah, is the shorthand for jihad. Jihad is qital fi sabilillah, which means jihad is fighting for the sake of Allah. Now, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith 4.50 by Anas bin Malik, it says, Muhammad said, a single endeavor of fighting in Allah's cause, in Arabic again, qital fi sabilillah, jihad, is better than the world and whatever is in it. This is from the Quran. Another one, Sahih Muslim Hadith says, they heard Muhammad say, I love that I should be killed in Allah's cause, jihad, then I should be resurrected to be killed again in jihad. Ladies and gentlemen, there is absolutely not an iota of misunderstanding that jihad is warfare. It has nothing to do with the spirit.
Yeah, let's go into this next statement that was quoted by Baghdadi. And he, speaking of Allah, said with you that when you are told to go forth in the cause of Allah, and the cause of Allah is consistently defined in the Quran as jihad, it's fighting. When you are told to go forth in the cause of Allah, you adhere heavily to the earth. Are you satisfied with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? In other words, the only way you're going to get to the Islamic paradise is to engage in jihad. But what is the enjoyment of the worldly life compared to the hereafter, except a little? In other words, in the Quran, there is no reason to live, only a reason to die. If you do not go forth, he will punish you with a painful punishment and will replace you with another people. Wow.
You know,
so this is a God that says, if you don't go forth and fight jihad, he's going to torture you.
You mean Allah is going to torture them?
Absolutely.
Allah. Always Allah in torture. Always.
Right.
Now, the Pope, according to him, he couldn't find any verses in the Quran which were aggressive. I don't know which Quran he was reading.
Yeah, this says if you're a Muslim and you cling to where you are and you are unwilling to go forth and fight jihad and Allah's cause, that Allah is going to torture you.
By the way, I have to repeat again what Yada is saying. When Yada is saying jihad fi sabilillah means jihad in Allah's cause, means killing us, those who are not Muslims.
Right.
That's what it means. Not killing just anybody. Killing all those human beings who are not Muslim. Currently 80% of humanity, constituting all Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics.
Right. As a matter of fact, Baghdadi makes this point by citing the Quran and saying that your enemy are these infidels, particularly Christians and Jews. And you are commanded by your God to kill them. And if you do not engage in jihad and kill them, then Allah is going to torture you.
Well,
so I ask you, IQ, is it possible to be a peaceful, moderate Muslim?
No chance.
According to the Quran, you cannot be a peaceful Muslim, right?
No, no.
So when I say it's impossible to be a peaceful Muslim, I'm quoting the Quran, aren't I?
Correct. We're not only quoting the Quran. Al-Baghdadi is telling us what it means.
Right.
And jihad, there are two levels of jihad. Warfare jihad and stealth jihad. What the Muslims tell you, what the Quran also tells you, if you are not powerful at any one point and you are a Muslim, you pretend you are part and parcel of the American dream or the European dream until such time as you can destroy it.
Right.
It's called stealth jihad.
Right. Everything in Islam, according to Muhammad, is ambushing, laying in wait to take advantage of an unsuspecting foe, to be able to attack those who are defenseless when you are armed. That's what it means. And that's what Muhammad did.
When you study the Quran, they call it in Arabic Ghazwa. Ghazwa is not a battle. They call it Uhud is a battle. It is not a battle. It was an ambush.
Correct. Here you've got al-Baghdadi, the most famous Muslim in the world, leading the world's most infamous Islamic organization, and he's telling you exactly what his religion demands of Muslims. Thank you, IQ.
Thank you.